When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Swung on.
There it goes. Deep left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Number 62 to set the new American League record.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Life, call his wife in.
Hey, how we doing? 406, your boy been. On this Tuesday morning, the first day back. Summer is over. It may still get warm. You still might want to do some summer activities. It doesn't matter. It's over. We got football on Thursday. Week one, you know, starts Sunday. That's how I view it, at least. And we got playoff baseball. The Yankees, for sure. Hopefully it's a division title. And the Mets, as that's where we started this morning, had their fifth consecutive win. Playing excellent baseball. Beat the Red Sox last night. And they've done it with their pitching. And I've been really impressed because I've been telling you for a while now that if the Mets were going to win, right? If the Mets were going to win, and catch the Braves. And I thought they were in a hell of a spot. I did not expect. I was on filling in the afternoon last Thursday and Friday. I did not expect them to rally back from that blown save against Arizona. After they battled back in that game, showed resiliency inside that game, battled back, took the lead, only to have Diaz give up the home run, give up the grand slam. I did not foresee them being able to get back within a half a game, being four games back after that day, and now one in the loss column, a half a game behind the Atlanta Braves. I didn't see that coming when I was hosting here on Thursday and Friday. Didn't see it coming. But even more than that, what I did not see coming was this team being able to go on this stretch, and I know it's against the White Sox. I don't care. I know they're the worst team ever. I get it. But what I did not see coming was not only were they able to pull themselves within a half a game, but they've been doing it with their pitching. This was a team that's been predicated on bludgeoning you. And this lineup, top to bottom, right? Obviously, the MVP, you heard in the update, the MVP chance for Lindor. Lindor's been incredible. What he's done since the leadoff, we all know, since moving to leadoff, has been incredible. He's such a dynamic force in this lineup. Alonso's starting to hit a couple home runs. We've seen Vientos have this incredible year. Marte's back. Like, this offense, Nimmo's really cooled off, but Jeff McNeil since the All-Star break, this team's been predicated on scoring runs. That's how they got back in this thing. That's how they've turned a team that was once 11 games under 500 into now their high water mark of 10 games over 500. They've done it mainly with their offense. And I have felt like that was the only way they could win games. A game here or a game there, but if a real stretch of good baseball and winning baseball for the Mets was going to be about scoring a ton of runs. That was their strength. And while the offense, the starting rotation has been better than we thought it was going to be all year, it hasn't really been the driving force. They haven't gone deep into games. They've walked a lot of batters. Like, it's been better than we thought, but certainly not anything where you felt like, ooh, the starting rotation is dangerous. But what's happened over the last handful of games here is that's exactly what the starting rotation has been. Manaea, the swing and miss from Manaea, I did not see coming. And I talked about this a lot. Severino last night, great game. A couple weeks ago, we're at a crossroads with Severino. People talking about moving him to the bullpen because of his innings. He hasn't really pitched anywhere near this amount of innings since 2018, and he had two or three bad starts in a row, and it felt like, boy, we're at a crossroads here with Severino. Is he going to be able to push through? Well, he's been great. Even after getting hit on the foot his last start out, no problem. He's coming back. He's throwing deep into game. The fastball velocity is maintaining through the game. He's gone into the seventh inning. The team's gone much deeper into games. Peterson has been a revelation. He's having the best stretch of his Met career. And this rotation right now has been good enough to elevate this Met team while still struggling with runners in scoring position, not putting big numbers up, you know, doing enough offensively. But this rotation has been a force here in this stretch. And if they are going to catch the Braves, and I know they kind of already have, but I believe in the Braves. This is a team that has fundamentally played well, has won the division a bunch. This group has fought and clawed. I mean, even when the Mets win 101 games, the Braves find a way to beat them in September. So I know they just lost 3 out of 4, but I the Braves are about to hit a stretch of Colorado and Cincinnati. What was the it's, I was just looking at it. Colorado, the last place Blue Jays, the Reds, the Nationals before facing the Dodgers. And then they got the Reds and Marlins before facing the Mets. So September, there's a lot of losing teams for the Braves. If you're going to catch the Braves, you know what? You have to be a little bit flexible. You have to find multiple ways to win baseball games. And I wasn't sure it was in the Mets. I wasn't sure they were capable of going on a stretch and going on a winning streak and becoming the hottest team in the league, doing it with anything else but their offense. But this rotation's been great. The pitching's been great. The bullpen has even been really good. I mean, Maton gets his first save as a Met. We saw Diaz bounce back and throw a bunch of fastballs and have faith in that 100-mile-an-hour fastball. We've known what Budo has been in the bullpen. They've gotten some real answers there. The starting rotation's been dynamic with Peterson, Manaea, and Severino mainly. And the offense has done just enough, and I still kind of have faith in this offense and the MVP in Lindor. So right now, the Mets have answered a bunch of questions. They've proven to me they can win multiple ways, and they're in a dogfight here for the last entrance into this National League playoff. And having said that, they better get there. That's the other element here I want to make clear, because I feel a lot like, hey, you know, there's a lot of resilience in this team. There's a lot of fight in this Met team. And whatever happens, I'm really proud of this group. And that might be true. And hey, if next year you do what everybody expects you to do with the money coming off the books for Scherzer and Verlander, if you go out there and steal Juan Soto from the Yankees, like every Met fan keeps telling me they're going to do, and they spend a bunch of money and add Burns and whoever else to the rotation, and they look like they're about to conquer the world with the smarts of their new GM and the pockets of their richest in baseball owner, and everything's about, the world is their oyster, and they're about to dominate the league for the next 10 years, maybe you can look back on this year and say, hey, that was a positive year, even just to play, you know, meaningful games in September. But I'm sorry, the minute you were playing the Atlanta Braves, the last time you played them in a four-game set, took the first two, and were right there to overtake them for the first wild card, things change. And if you want to look at this team and brag about how good they've been and talk about how resilient they've been and say, hey, look, since June 1st, they've got the second best record in baseball. Well, if you want to claim that for the last 3 months they're the best team in baseball, then figure out a way to get into this postseason. I'm sorry. Expectations change. At the beginning of the year, you could have sold me on meaningful September games. When they were 11 games under 500, you damn sure could have sold me on meaningful games in September. When they're securely in a wild card spot and are about to beat the Braves to take over the first wild card spot, that's when momentum shifts. That's when things change. And to get from that point to out of the postseason, I'm sorry. I agree. They are one of the best teams in the National League. They are a team with a dynamic offense and now in a rotation good enough to get into a postseason and be scary in a short series. If you have all those elements, if you want to tell me you've been good for 3 months, find a way in and give yourself a chance to do what the Arizona Diamondbacks did last year, to do what the Philadelphia Phillies did 2 years ago. Get in there and give yourself a chance. So while we're all impressed, and I am, and while I'm shocked they were able to make up 3.5 games in a week, less than a week, I'm impressed. And they're doing it with more than their offense. I'm impressed. But make no mistake, impressing me, impressing you, making you feel proud ain't enough. This team needs to get there. And they've got about 26 games to do so. 888-808-1019. We talked some Yankees as well, as they took care of the Rangers for the first game of that series. But they need to start playing better. They need to put wins together. They're a half a game up, one in the loss column over the lousy Baltimore Orioles. And they've got to figure out a way to win a division, because they absolutely have to. And we've talked about their roster as well. Jason Dominguez toils away in AAA. as he needs to be up here. We've talked about that a lot, too. So your baseball calls. We talked a little bit about the Jets. We'll get to the Giants. We have all week to do the football. McMonagle here with you on the Fan. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Pat in the Bronx. What's up, Pat?
Hey, Chris. I've missed you airing on the overnights for a little while.
Oh, well, thank you very much. I am back.
The man is back. And the man is Alonso back. Is back. And let's hope that maybe some of the other Mets are back. And, you know, this team, I don't think they're playing with smoke and mirrors. I think we have a solid lineup.
Yeah.
And we're getting surprising years out of some of the pitching.
Absolutely. I mean, Manaea has really, I mean, he was solid for a while, and that, you know, relatively surprised me. I didn't expect, you know, routinely getting 9 to 11 strikeouts every game. That I did not expect. But he's been really good. Severino was able to push through that little stretch where it looked like the innings were getting to him. Peterson's been great, really, ever since coming back off the injury. And I agree with you. Like, you're seeing a lot of special things. I think it's, Iglesias might never play like this again, but right now, it's legit. Like, you're seeing these guys all have great years. Vientos has established himself as the third baseman of this team. Lindor is having an MVP-type season. I mean, Bader has cooled off a bit, but he's having one of his best offensive seasons of his career. Like, every Taylor has been, how good has Taylor been? I mean, everything has come up in the way of the Mets, plus all the ancillary stuff, the fun stuff, the grimace, the OMG, the like everything that's come along with it. It just feels like a special season. And I don't think it's smoking mirrors either. But you got to get there.
You can put on a solid offensive outfield for the beginning of the game. You build a lead, and then you have Taylor and Bader coming in. You're usually decently safe. And how about the bullpen of late?
Yeah,
you know, we don't automatically just have the Buto and Diaz, and if they're tired, we're going to lose. Mm-hmm. You know, everyone's able to get an inning of solid relief.
Yeah. No, and then especially when you got the news on Daniel Nunez, you're like, oh, jeez, this bullpen. You just blew the game. Diaz gave up the grand slam. You get the bad news on Nunez. It's like, oh, man. And since then, they've been great. They're a resilient group, too. They're resilient. They found a way to pitch here. And I do still trust the offense, although it's cooled off a little bit. But you knew it wasn't going to be. I mean, they were the most dynamic offense in the sport for a month. I didn't know if that was going to continue at that kind of pace, but I still believe in it. I still think they have guys who've come up clutch. Lindor's been as good as anyone in baseball, really. I mean, that's how good he's been. I don't think it's smoke and mirrors at all. I think it's a talented team that's, you know, getting great performances from guys you didn't expect to get great performances from. But my point is they do need to finish it off, though. Danny and Belrose. What's up, Danny?
Hey, good morning, Chris. How are you?
Good morning. How are you, buddy?
Pretty good. So I like the pitching yesterday. It was pretty solid. Not really concerned with Cole.
No, it's a cramp. I think he's all right.
Yeah, a little Charlie horse, you know, things happen. But the bats looked good yesterday. Glaber looked great, 3 hits. And, Judge definitely going to start waking up soon. I mean, I know he hasn't been hitting well. I know in St. Louis seems like what?
Yeah, I mean, it's been 6-7 games. It's been a week. So I don't want to really even call it a slump because he's taken his walks and gotten a couple hits here and there. But he hasn't been driving the baseball. Same thing with Soto. Soto's kind of in a slump. If you look, Soto's like hitting 190 for the last two or three weeks. And if you take out the Colorado and Cleveland series, he's been bad for even longer than that. So they need Soto to get going.
Yeah, he hit a home run yesterday, so that was good. At least, you know, his power's still looking great. But I'm not worried about them. The bullpen scared me a couple days ago with that 14-7. It was like a football score that game.
Oh, it was a disaster. That was as bad a loss as they've had this year. That's a game you can't lose. You can't battle back. You can't be down 7-2, show a pulse, score a bunch of runs offensively, tie the game at 7, then immediately give up another 5 spot. Like, you just can't. And Canely, I know you love your changeup, Canely. Throw another pitch. You can't attack a left. I know against left, but with the short porch especially, and let's be fair, and not only was Soto bad offensively lately, I mean, he was atrocious in right field the other day. I mean, just atrocious. You can't continue to throw changeup after changeup after changeup. Like, mix a fastball in just to show them you'll throw it. Like, Canely, he loves that changeup. I know it's a good pitch, and he's having a good year, but my God, throw something else in a big spot. And, you know, I think Soto's had a great year defensively. He's been far better than I thought he was. When the word was, you know, he's slow and, you know, he's a terrible outfielder. I think he's actually been really good, but that doesn't, you know, he was brutal the other day. It's gotten a little bit worse. Maybe he's tired. I know he's been dealing with a bunch of stuff, right? He's had the hand injury that seems like it's been with him all year. He's been dealing with a couple of the elbow injury. Like, you know, so he's had some stuff, not his legs necessarily, but he slowed down defensively a little. I mean, he had a ball in their first runs that day. That's a 99% catch probability. Like, you got to catch the ball. And the other thing is, and I know I get into Clay Holmes a little bit, is there a particular reason why Anthony Volpe just does not want to handle a ground ball off of when Clay Holmes is on the mound? Like, they play their worst defense at the moment they need to play their best defense. It's unbelievable. Clay Holmes gets ground balls, right? You know how I feel about Clay Holmes. I think he's far better than people want to give him credit for. I really do. I think some of the blown saves are just honestly bad luck. You look at all of his numbers are good. He doesn't give up home runs for the most part, which I think is important in the closer. He walks guys too many, don't get me wrong, but like the infield defense of the Yankees is an issue for his type of closer. I think he strikes out more people and gets more swing and miss than people would admit as well, but you do need a good defensive infield if you're going to have a sinker baller for a closer. And Anthony Volpe blew, had an error, and then had the easiest double play and damn near booted that. Like, it's amazing to me how poorly they've played behind Clay Holmes. And it worries me a little bit with Anthony Volpe coming to the playoffs. Like, he seems tight as a drum in the ninth inning. Think of how many defensive miscues he's had late in games for a guy otherwise has been brilliant defensively this year. Like, they tighten up. There is definitely a feel, whether it's, you know, we feel it as fans, they feel it on the field. Like, Clay Holmes comes in, it's like, we better be on our best behavior. And it does the opposite to them. It's very frustrating. Except for Gleyber Torres last night, who made a great play on a bullet that Clay Holmes gave up. And Gleyber Torres has been really good. You have to give him, we've hated him. I don't know if I want him back. He's too inconsistent a player for me. He makes a bunch of boneheaded mental mistakes. He doesn't hustle, all of it. Roll it all into one. It's a player I'll let walk in free agency. But he's extremely important to them right now, and he's been great. He's got a, since moving back into the leadoff spot, he's got like a 370 on base, 900 OPS, hits the double in the gap, plays great second base. When he's going well, he looks like a confident, young, talented player. When he's going poorly, he looks like someone who's afraid of his own shadow. I don't know why.
Start some trouble and call the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
All right, 4:30. McMonagle here with you. Now, I don't know how I didn't know this. And I'm assuming if I didn't know it, there's a chance you didn't know it, so I'm going to let you know. That's how it works. But I remember it had to be a few years ago. And I've seen a bunch of people do it. Chris Bryant did it with a baseball team, and I saw Jared Goff did it with a football team. But a few years ago, Eli Manning got dressed up in, you know, kind of a costume, a little bit of a fake nose and a wig. And he called himself Chad Powers. And he went to, I guess, a college football campus. It was Penn State. That's how you were so aware of it, of course. So he goes to Penn State to work out. And, of course, you know, even though he's retired, Eli Manning can sling it. So he comes in as some, like, you know, fresh face, new quarterback option or, you know, new quarterback possibility. Comes in there. He starts, you know, throwing like Eli Manning. And it's to mess with the kids at Penn State or whatever. And it's a gag or whatever. And it was funny, and Eli Manning looked ridiculous, and it was funny. But apparently, I don't know how I didn't know this, but Glenn Powell was on a bit of a roll, the actor. He was in, obviously, Top Gun, the latest Top Gun. Then there was a Hitman on Netflix or something that was popular. He's in the latest Twister. And then Anyone But You, along with, Sydney Sweeney. So he's been on a little bit of a roll. He is actually doing a TV show where he's going to be playing Chad Powers based on the character of Eli Manning. He's going to play a former college quarterback that's going to disguise himself as someone else, Chad Powers, to go back and try and play college football again. I didn't hear anything about this. I just saw something on Twitter talking about it, and then I went and looked. He's been on the Eli Manning show. Like, this has been in the works for a while. How did I miss out on this? This Eli Manning is everywhere. I'm telling you, it's unbelievable. He's going to be at the red carpet event. You know, this is going to be probably a hit because this guy's hot right now. Everything he's touched has been successful over the last 3 or 4 years. Eli Manning is on fire. The guy is unbelievable. A million people did this. Again, Jared Goff did it. Chris Bryant did it. Like, it's been a goof that a couple people have done. Who gets the TV show? Eli Manning. I have to check that out. I had no idea this was happening. And then on other people who have no idea, I'm going to throw my buddy under the bus. I got a text message. I don't know. 10:15, 10:25 at night last night from a friend of mine from my neighborhood. And he goes, what's going on with Saquon? Where's Saquon going? I'm like, what do you mean, where's Saquon going? He's like, look at his Instagram. So I go to Saquon Barkley's Instagram, and he's got a picture. It says, before anyone else reports it, I want you to hear it from me first. I'm about to join a new franchise, .. again. Big announcement tomorrow. I'm like, bro. He's joining like the McDonald's franchise. He's gonna be a spokesman for someone. The season's gonna start in a week. Where do you think he's going? And people, you know, of course you gotta text, you know, the guy who knows everything about sports, apparently. Now I know you guys know different, I know nothing. But some of my friends actually think I know what I'm talking about. So they'll text me with this stuff. And I'm like, bro, are you serious? Yeah, he's leaving the Eagles. He's joining another franchise out of nowhere. He's going to be the new spokesperson for New Balance. I don't know. Like, that's what's coming. What's wrong with you? But that's Giant fans right there, because he's a Giant fan, just dying for him not to be an Eagle, which, by the way, I could care less. I've said this before. We're about to start the season. I'm sure he's going to have a great season. The Eagles are going to be good. They're one of, you know, two or three teams, maybe, including the Lions, that have a chance to win the Super Bowl coming out of the NFC. You would think they're going to be one of the best teams in the league. He's going to have a great year. I have no doubt. They're going to come in and probably kick the crap out of the Giants. I don't care. But I know we're going to see it for the first time now. We're going to see Saquon Barkley in that ugly Eagles uniform, right? You probably drafted him. I hope you were smart enough to still draft him or not draft him, whatever, but don't let your Giant fandom be a part of it. Same guy, or, you know, one of the same guys was getting on me because I, you know, in like the 11th round, I drafted Dak Prescott to be my quarterback. I'm like, you're a Giant fan. I'm like, yeah, I know I'm a Giant fan. I can separate the two, but it's not that hard.
I kept him in the league we're in together, so don't get your hopes up for the draft.
Yeah, exactly. But, like, who cares? Honestly, Giant fans, I've seen Boston Scott score touchdowns at will against me. Boston Scott! The Giants haven't beaten the Eagles in a meaningful game since Ron Dixon ran the kickoff back in 2000. The Eagles have kicked the tar out of the New York Giants at every single turn. Whether it's kick returns, whether it's Jeff Garcia, whether it's Vince Young, like, it doesn't matter. Boston Scott. Everyone puts on an Eagles uniform and kicks the crap out of the Giants. You think I'm going to be heartbroken because Saquon Barkley joins a long list of great players and nobodies? And here's something else, too, because this story came out that Josh Jacobs actually turned down $4 million more from the... If that story is true, then Joe Shane is a complete liar. And Hard Knocks was a complete lie and fabrication. There is no way they offered Jacobs a contract they would not offer Saquon Barkley. Unless that contract went right away, and then they're like, oh my God, the running back market's way worse than we thought, or way more expensive than we thought. I guess we got to pivot and get, like, but it, Joe Shane struck me as someone who wasn't going to pay a running back that kind of money. So the idea that, you know, Josh Jacobs was offered, you know, upwards of $13 million or whatever it was, like, I don't believe that for a second. At least I hope not. Make me think a hell of a lot less of Joe Shane. They did exactly what they should, and I wish Saquon Barkley the best, whether it's for the Eagles or whatever his new endeavor is, we'll find out later today. I wish him nothing but the best. I hope he has a healthy career. I hope he turns out to be touched by the hand of God and destined for a gold jacket just the way Dave Gettleman suggested. I hope everything happens for him. I hope they lose every time they play the Giants. Other than that, God bless him. The idea that Giant fans are still, like, you know, hung up on what Saquon Barkley is going to do, or that it's going to hurt a Giant, like, I could care less. It's not going to bother me in the slightest that Saquon Barkley is running for the Eagles. It's not going to bother me in the slightest. Again, who hasn't put on an Eagles uniform and tortured me? Who hasn't? Literally everyone. I mean, I've made money betting on Boston Scott to score touchdowns against the Giants. Boston Scott. But, oh, if Saquon Barkley has a day against the Giants, oh, how will we live? Same way we do every year, getting our ass kicked by the Eagles. I'm used to it. Connor in Islip. What's up, Connor?
What's going on? I actually saw him, a bartender, first time, long time, and I had a customer come into me today. And just as I got in the car and closed up, I'm on my way home now, I heard you talking about Saquon in that post.
Yeah.
And I had a customer come into me today. They, you know, oh, can you believe this? You know, I can't believe it. You know, look at this. He's joining a new franchise. I said, dude, it starts next week. Like, he's not joining a new team.
The Eagles are trading.
I'm like, it's probably like a mac and cheese, like a Kraft mac and cheese.
Yeah,
like,
right, exactly.
Snoop Dogg did the same thing about quitting smoking weed.
Right, remember that? Like, yeah, right, right. He's going to stop smoking.
And then it was like an air fryer commercial.
No, it was,
you know?
I'm kicking myself for not knowing this. No, it's the oven, the stove, what was the name of the air?
It was like a smokeless fire.
Yeah,
like
the stove, you know what I mean? That I have at my house that I can't think of the name of because it's 4:39 in the morning and I'm just getting back into my routine of the overnights.
Yeah, I'm with you. And it was genius of him. It was genius. And that's exactly what Saquon's doing. But he looks at me and he goes, you know, he's just been digging at us Giants. And I'm like, what does this have to do with the Giants, man? Like, listen, I'm a Jets fan, but I'm a New York fan. Like, I just found that crazy.
Yeah,
you know, and it was such a cliche moment for me to get my car, fire up the engine, and hear you being like, I can't believe it, because it's like they're just looking for anything now. But thanks again, and I appreciate you taking my call. All right,
no problem. The solo stove. I literally own one. I couldn't think of the name. Yeah, it was a solo stove bit with Snoop Dogg. Yeah, he was going smokeless. People actually like, and he's a Giant fan who's hung up on Saquon Barkley, and I know a couple of them. Like I. And you know, talking fantasy, a couple of my guys are like, I can't believe he's going to have such a great year. Like, okay, I know. We know. As I open the solo stove, there's a big picture of Snoop Dogg. It's not going to bother me at all. Why are we hung up on it? And the idea that you would believe that. I mean, maybe Mirage opens up with it today at 2 o'clock. But other than that, I wouldn't expect anybody to believe it. So it made me laugh when I got that text message. I'm like, what? The season they're playing us. They're in Brazil. You think he's going to join another franchise? Oh, my God. But, yeah, again, I wish him the best. It's not going to bother me at all what happens with him and the Eagles. Not going to bother me at all. Brett in Long Island. How are you, Brett? How I've missed you. What's going on?
Wow, look, finally comes back from vacation. It must be nice. You were gone for like a month. You left us flat, all us loyal listeners. We had to listen to Al. Oh, my God.
Al. Well, I'm sure he did. I'm sure Al did a great job. I listened a little bit. He does a good job. I was gone for a week and a half, and the half that I came back, they had the wisdom to give me afternoons. So I'm sorry, but I'm back.
Chris, I think you've been on vacation too long. You should start going back to screening calls or something, because now all of a sudden the Eagles are going to have a chance to win the Super Bowl. They lost 6 out of 7 last year.
Yeah, but you know they're a talented roster.
Got beat up by the Bucks, and then right away you're giving them all this credit. They're going to kill us. I mean, are you really a Giants fan or not?
Yeah, I am. I'm sorry. Have you watched? Have the Giants fared well against the Eagles?
You're still negative, man. We haven't started yet. You're looking at the preseason. You're one of those guys looking at the practices and the preseason, and you're going with that?
Well, I mean, I'm one of those guys who give, you know, prognostications on the season. What else should I look at? Like, I think the Eagles are going to be good because I think they have a talented roster. It fell apart. They have an issue with their coach and their quarterback and their wide receiver. I get it. And maybe it'll fall apart again and we'll all get lucky. But I think they're a talented team. I think they have I think they're one of the better teams in the NFC. And I think that literally the last meaningful game the Giants beat the Eagles was Ron Dixon running the kickoff back. Like, that's how long it's been. So all I'm saying is I'm laying it on thick to make the point about Saquon Barkley. I have been beaten.
But I don't think you're being honest. Think you're being honest like you do with the Giants. The Giants, when one little change happens, you pick it apart. The Eagles, this is what happened last year. The coach, they're talking about, oh, one more bad season, he's gone.
Yeah.
This isn't me. I've seen some Eagle groups. Right?
No,
this
absolutely.
Is reality. The guy lost 6 or 7. He lost the team, right? That happened.
Well, I don't know if he lost the team. Yeah.
They lost some pieces.
No doubt.
No, I'm saying, like, A.J. Brown was upset. I think something was wrong with Jalen Hurts, right?
Yeah.
The Giants, actually, as bad as they were, right? I'm not saying they were great. But at the end of the season, remember their last 5-6 games? No, I'm just saying, their last 5 or 6 games, the Packer game, the Ram game, then the speech at the end in the locker room, like, that team played for a coach that they knew they were out of the playoffs. The Eagles were in the playoffs. They had gone, like, 10-1 and fell apart, Chris. I mean, come on, man. You make no sense with that.
You think the Giants...
You don't, bro. You don't make any sense.
Wait, so I'm the one? What's the over-under for the Eagles? What's the over-under for the Giants? What are the odds on the Eagles winning?
No.
You're saying
the Eagles can go to the Super Bowl.
Okay.
Get all that. Don't detract from what you said.
I'm not detracting. You're saying that I'm saying things that make
no sense.
You're saying I'm saying things that make no sense when everybody says the same thing. Go look at Vegas. Go look at the odds for the Eagles to make the Super Bowl and then the other teams in the NFC to make the Super Bowl. They're right there. As one of the 2 or 3, it's them, the Lions, the 49ers, are the 3 favorites to come out of the NFC. You're saying I'm saying things that doesn't make sense. That's the prevailing thought. I'm not going out on a limb saying the Eagles are going to be good this year. You're saying things that don't make sense.
You sound like it, though. And Vegas is wrong, but you do sound like that.
Vegas is wrong. We might all be wrong. We might win 2 games. Don't tell me it doesn't make sense, Brett. It doesn't make sense. They've got a good roster.
You buy into the coach? You buy into Sirianni?
He took them to the Super Bowl the year before.
Last year.
All right, last year the team fell apart. The year before that, they were in the Super Bowl.
The year before that, the Giants went to the playoffs. I know they got killed by them, but they went to the playoffs. Now you got them winning, what, 4 games?
The Giants?
It makes sense, Chris.
Brett,
yeah, the year before last year, they went to the playoffs.
Yes. The year before, the Giants went to the playoffs, yes. And then what happened in the playoffs? Who'd they play and how badly did they get beat?
But that's a team issue. I agree. They got beat by the better team. But that better team fell apart last year.
Yeah, I understand that. They started out
the last 7
games. And they started out 10-0 or 9-0, whatever it was, and they fell apart. They had an issue.
Right, they were great.
No doubt. They've made changes.
An issue. You lose 6 or 7 games and get beat up by the Bucks. That's a big issue,
man. It's a big issue, but they're still I'm not putting them in the Super Bowl. Yeah, they're one of the better, more talented teams in the NFC. You're acting like I'm saying crazy things, Brett. You're being an idiot.
Go root for the Cowboys, man. I'm sick of it.
Well, I hate the Eagles way more than the Cowboys. I hope the Cowboys beat them twice. Go root for the Cowboys. Like, I can't be a Giant fan. Like, it's unbelievable. This is where we're at. And I know Brett's unique. But if you're a Yankee fan who roots for the Yankees... You're a miserable shill of a fan, and you don't belong to be. You're not a real Yankee fan if you like them. It's like unbelievable. The Yankees win every freaking year, right? Every year. And if you like them, you're an idiot, and you're not a real Yankee fan. The Giants have had one season in the last 7 that has made it to Halloween. One. in the last seven that has made it to Halloween. But I'm not a real fan for being pessimistic. Oh, my God. The world is upside down. The world is upside down right now. My world is upside down. I'm not making any sense because I think all I said was the Eagles are going to be one of the better teams. I didn't say they're going to the Super Bowl. I said they're going to be one of the better teams, and Saquon Barkley is probably going to score touchdowns against the Giants. That's literally all I said. And I said it's not going to hurt me because other guys have. I'm used to getting my ass kicked by the Eagles. I didn't say they're going to lose every game to the Eagles. I just said if Saquon Barkley has an enormous game against the Giants, is it going to break my heart when I've seen a million guys come in here and beat the crap out of the Giants from the Eagles? Like, it's just, he joins a long list. That's all. I didn't put the Eagles in the Super Bowl. I didn't say that they're going to kick the crap out of the Giants. All I said was, I'm not going to be hurt. I'm getting the sense there are Giant fans who are now dreading this a little bit, where it's coming to fruition that the season's going to start. He's going to be wearing an Eagles uniform. He's going to play us. I have him on fantasy. I'm playing against him on fantasy. It's reality, right? There was the Hard Knocks where you kind of saw a glimpse of reality, but ultimately the day he put on the jersey in the press conference, a glimpse of reality. But here we are. Here it comes. We're a week away, less than that, from seeing Saquon Barkley in an Eagles uniform. And Giant fans are still hung up on it, so I made a point about it, Brett. But thanks for the call, as always.
It's Evan and Kiki. Afternoons on The Fan, 101.9 FM.
We're evaluating. We might be okay, and maybe we'll do something because we could make the postseason. That's gone.
Stream Evan and Kiki live or on demand with the Odyssey app and podcast the show wherever you get your podcasts.
Woo! All right, 4:54. And just to clear up a couple things there. I never said the Giants are winning four games. In fact, I've been somewhat more optimistic than I thought I would be about the Giants as the season gets closer. And I'll get into Giant predictions. We still have time for that. I want to do it on Tuesday. But we'll get into the Giant predictions, the Jet predictions. I am high on the Jets. I've told you that. But just to also clear up the Super Bowl odds and where Philadelphia stands inside the NFC. Currently, the Philadelphia Eagles have the fifth best odds to win the Super Bowl. Third in the NFC, but fifth overall. The Kansas City Chiefs are the favorite at plus 5,500. San Fran is next at plus 600. Then the Baltimore Ravens, big jump to plus 1,100. The Detroit Lions, amazingly enough, when's the last time they were the fourth favorite to win the Super Bowl? The Detroit Lions are plus 1,200. And then the Philadelphia Eagles are plus 1,300. To round out the top five favorites to win the Super Bowl. So, I mean, I'm not making this up. They have a talented roster. They might fall apart. And yes, the coach, Sirianni, without question, is on the hot seat. And the team fell apart. They were in the Super Bowl the year before. They're in the Super Bowl the year before. They're a talented team. They're as talented, you know, as any other team in the NFC right there with San Francisco and Detroit. They have to put it together. And saying that, you know, I'm pessimistic about playing the Eagles. I'm sorry. It's been a relationship of foot to ass for how many years? I mean, I don't know what else to tell you. Same thing with, you know, I always reference the Yankees. It is the Yankee hot stove hour. Like, I say I want the Astros. You don't think the Astros scare the hell out of me? Of course the Astros. One, they have left-handed pitching right now. They're hot. They're the Astros. They kick the crap out of the Yankees. Sometimes there's just matchups, man. The Eagles have owned the Giants. Owned them. You know, I don't have to. You could still be a Giant fan and recognize that fact. 888-808-1019. Mitchell in Fort Lee. What's up, Mitch?
Hello, Big Mac. First of all, how was the trip to Florida? How was it? The trip, you had a good time?
It was great. We had a great time. We made all the stops. We stopped in Baltimore, caught a game. I was in South Carolina for a little bit, down to Disney. We had a great time. Boys loved it.
That's great. Okay, let's get to the Yankees now, Big Mac. So here we go. First of all, here we go. Number one, we're going to get back, Schmidt and Hill back this weekend.
That means we'll take one spot we already have. What do we do with the second spot? Do we take Nestor out and put him in the bullpen? Or do we take Keo and say, oh, you know what? Let's do his innings is already where they're matched, or the or quote-unquote, he's pitched a lot. Do you put him in the bullpen and maybe let him start closing some games? That's number one. Number two, I understand what the Yankees are doing with the Martian, but you know what? The Yankees only have a game lead, and Verdugo is not doing very much in left field. And because they're gonna lose a draft pick and get and make the as a minor leaguer you can be you get the
no.
Rookie of the year.
Yeah, no, that's out the window. The Athletic did a story on that. That's out the window. There is the prevailing thought was that he was being held up because if he wins the Rookie of the Year next year, the Yankees get an extra draft pick and he can't have 130 at bats. Apparently, because of his time already on the Major League 40-man roster, he's still eligible to win the Rookie of the Year, but the Yankees will not get a draft pick because of it. Because he spent too much time on the 40-man roster. Whatever rules it is, I don't know. But the Athletic just... There's one reason. They believe Verdugo getting hot and becoming the player he's been for most of his career is their best option to win. That's why they're doing it. I think they're wrong. I think the ship has sailed on Verdugo. I don't think there's any reason to continue it. I would bring up Jason Dominguez and put him in left field right now. I don't think it's for sentimentality. I don't think it's because they feel sorry for him. It's not about Jason Dominguez and his ability to get them a draft pick or save money and pay him a year later. None of that. It's for one reason. He is a veteran, Verdugo, who has played in playoff games with the Red Sox, who provides them with contact, left-handed bat, good defense in left field. They view, if they can get him going, that he's their best option come playoff time. And they're willing to ride this out until the bitter end, and then if they have to, bring up Jason Dominguez. Hopefully he's hot and confident from the minor leagues, bring him up. That's how they're viewing it. I would much rather play Dominguez right now, and if he struggles for 2 weeks, go back to Verdugo. That makes more sense to me. But it is what it is. And your first point about the bullpen and the pitching, I think they're going to go to a six-man rotation for a bit. Luis Gil might go to the bullpen. Clark Schmidt's already done it. They might put Clark Schmidt in the bullpen. But the idea, if they do, that they're going to put him in the closer role right away. People just think they're going to put Luis Gil in the bullpen and make him the closer. You're nuts. He's got to be a reliever for a little bit, prove he can do it. Stop trying to get Clay Holmes out of there. He's not as bad as you think. I'm telling you. Always has to come down to defending Clay Holmes. Someone's got to do it, and I will. All right. Good first show back. Looking forward to the rest of the week. Football's upon us. Mets and Yankees in playoff races. There's tons to do, and we'll do it all week long. I'll catch you again tomorrow, 2 a.m. after Keith and the Yankees. The warm-up show is next. I'm out of here. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. WFAN.